And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday. Expository Thursday. As we work together to know the letter better into the narrative of the Book of Acts, we travel to understand what things the Lord requires of us as we learn to apply God's timeless truths in our lives. First, the teaching about the conversion of the jailer and his family is truly uplifting. We're going to get into that some today in verse 31. A key passage in Scripture should be known and highlighted by all of us. We examine the words of the power of the Holy Spirit recording through Luke and remember their power when we get to them. You'll understand when we're there. Next, the jailer asks what he needed to do to be saved. Bam-o! Many people offer complex responses that people come up with. However, the Apostle Paul's answer is refreshingly simple. What most people think is that you have to believe, and then you have to repent, you have to baptize, you have to stand up, you have to confess before others immediately, and then they add 15 other things. And that's not what happened to me. And by the way, none of those things is an exclusive scriptural pattern. Uh-oh. What do you mean it's not the exact same thing? We're not the exact same people. It's not the exact same thing. And finally, at this point in Acts' narrative, something remarkable occurs. Through the jailer, Paul is informed that they are free to go. However, Paul exercises a sense of justice, using the civil system to highlight the wrongful treatment they endured during their spiritual declarations. Nevertheless, Paul did not sue them. He just requested acknowledgement before continuing with his mission for the kingdom of God.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Really? A lot more? Yeah. We're asking you, what do you think? You can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call, I know it's big, but it's numbers, ready? You would dial 9, and then 7, and then 2, and then you would dial 4, and then 4, and then 5, and then you would dial 0, and 7, and 7, and 0. Then you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to kid a Dynamite.
Talking to Dynamite D is like getting the blessing of fellowship just by calling and saying hi to him.
Oh, wow. We just talked about that.
That's right. We did, didn't we? Notice the repetitive patterns throughout the show, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and creatures of all ages. Keep this in mind, okay? Anything is open here in the sense of conversation. If you got something you want to share, we're totally cool for that. If you got something you want, a praise report, awesome. A prayer request, let's do it. Let's combine our faith. It's just not a place for complaining. Not that you don't have places to kind of get into maybe more of a political structure or, you know, the economic issues and so on. I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about kingdom loving, kingdom powering, kingdom empowering. And if you've got something you want to share, you, other people can help bear your burden, then that is awesome to us.
What about an apple pie recipe, Dave?
Apple pie recipe would be nice. A little a la mode there, but we'll just deal with that later. Here's your trivia question. Peter, the disciple of Jesus, had a brother. What was Peter's brother's name? That's the question. Yes, that's not that difficult. I believe you guys will get that. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483, and you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. Okay, now, lots to teach, having fun. Oh, somebody is calling in, so we'll give them a chance, because we want you guys to have that chance to engage and so on and so forth. And it's a good question, because some people forget how important that is. You see what I'm saying? That's you have to know all the players. It really helps to understand the story. Okay, somebody's ready to answer trivia. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing okay, Gary. How are you doing? Any better? Well, the same? Less? Worse?
Well, I'm about the same, I guess.
Okay. Not worse,
I'm
though, right?
I'm holding in there.
You know, I love you. That's why I ask you that. And the reason I do is I want people to hear you, and then I want them to pray for you. I want them to pick it up for you and be warriors.
I need it. And I pray for all of you, too.
Yeah. You see that? And I think that's great that you just said, I need it. He needs that, man. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to do that. You got to be his brother. You got to be his sister. You got to be there for him family-wise, okay? All right. Here we go. I know you're going to get this. I just know you're going to get this because you are smart that way. All right, Peter, our good friend Peter, maybe one of the Three Stooges indirectly. All right, Peter had a brother. What was the brother's name?
His brother's name was Andrew.
That is correct, Amundo!
They were fishermen, and his brother were fishermen.
And in them being fishermen, they had partners, right? Do you remember who their partners were? The fishermen partners? Who were their?
James and John.
That's right. And so what people don't realize is when Jesus selected the people, there were four that were like tight. They were already tight. You know what I'm saying? It's like that's what he built upon. Then it turned out to be those three being. I always feel bad for Andrew because I just feel like he got left out. But, you know, it's just a cool thing that that Jesus used that unit, that group, and that was a big core of the group. So excellent job as always, brother, and people will pray for you.
And I'll be praying for all of you. God bless you.
All right, you too, brother. Bye-bye. Love it. Love it when Gary calls. Okay, so let's see. We'll just go right into the text. I just got so much to do. All right, I just want to do this, and then we'll get into the biggest aspect of it. So in Acts chapter 16, we're at like verse 25. We already did this the last week, and it was, I thought, really good. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. As we talked about, you don't know when people are like, who's listening, who's not listening. You don't know what's going on, right? We're not. You don't know the people that can hear you. You don't know the bird that hears you and carries your word somewhere. Okay? It's a little reference to the Old Testament. Then it says this. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors flew open, and the chains of the prisoners fell off. Now, I'm not experiencing that every time I'm praying. Singing hymns, but I want you to understand something. There is nothing that restricts God from doing this now or ever. So they're praying, and anytime scripture says suddenly, it's like suddenly. It's like somebody, you're driving down the road and somebody cuts in front of you real fast. It's like suddenly, like, oh, wow, what happened? So there's an earthquake, the prison is shaken, and all the doors are open. For every prisoner, you can really bring in the spiritual side of this. Now, the practical side is this is amazing. And you know all the prisoners sitting there going, what just happened? Right? I mean, there's just like maybe like in a little bit of shock, I would imagine. But just if you can just catch it, when the Lord drops an earthquake and there's suddenly things happening, the doors that keep us in bondage, the doors that keep us chained up in a cell, they fly off. They just open up. Wow, I just love stuff like that. So now in verse 27, the jailer woke up to see the prison doors were open. You got to love this part. He assumed the prisoners had escaped. He assumed that. So he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, "Don't do it! We're all here." So what's amazing about this is you've got these prisoners. Some are going to be guilty and some are not going to be guilty. That's kind of like the way the system is. That's the way the best thing that man can ever come up with is never perfect. The doors fly open, right? Every door flies open. The chains on the prisoners fell off. That's what happens when God shows up. Those bondages that hold you back and that keep you down and that they hurt you or wound you or bind you up from moving forward, they break. Now, when the jailer woke up from what happened because of the earthquake, what did he do? He assumed all the prisoners had escaped. Most of you know the Odd Couple episode on assuming. I'm not going to go any further than that. When the two of them talk about it, you don't assume. You got to be very careful assuming, especially when God is involved. You don't know. Job knew him better than you did. He didn't know. Just like, okay, that's pretty fair, right? And so he looks at that and goes, I'm going to have to take my life. Why? Because they would have quartered him. They would have taken him. They would have had four horses. One would have grabbed one arm, another arm, another one leg, one another, and they would have pulled him apart. It's one of the most terrible ways to die. He's like, I'm just going to kill myself, right? This is what Paul says. Paul says, don't do it. We are all here. Nobody left? Nobody got up? Nobody did anything? No. Nobody jetted out. Because you want to know why? Because it was God who was orchestrating. I just got a message for you. You got 1,000 people in a jail cell, and those doors fly off and all their chains fall. They're not all standing there. Not in our country. That ain't happening. But who's orchestrating the whole thing? God. Paul's not orchestrating it. Silas isn't orchestrating. No. God is coordinating. And he will release and let go and tell people to go when it's right. Because when he's doing it, the natural processes change dramatically. And the power of grace, provision, and plan step up to the plate. I just love stuff like that. I'm just like, what? How did they not all just go running out, going, oh, get away. Didn't happen. And when we get back, the most amazing part, of course, yet to come. We'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad, that's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
Dr. Robert Jeffress on Hell.
I had a lady one time, we did a Q&A session in our church we call Ask the Pastor. Usually I know what they're going to ask, but this lady raised her hand and she said, Pastor, if a woman is pregnant at the rapture, does that mean she will be pregnant throughout eternity? And I paused for a second, and I said, yes, it's called hell.
That's brutal.
There are some unanswered questions about all of this, but I do think we're going to know one another.
The David Spoon Experience.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. I do want to give you guys an update. So I did get an update on September. So you guys know we went out there in, I think it was April, and we were praying for her, and I've been praying for her, and Noah's been praying for her, family's been praying for her, and a lot of you guys have been praying for her as well. And so she has been going through some treatment, and things are going very, very well for her. She is doing substantially better. She had a certain amount of numbers. They were like astronomical, like 145,000 or something that was in that ballpark. So with prayer, with the medicine, with the combination, it's down to like 11,000. She tests again in 2 months, stays on the medication, and if she stays or holds pat, she doesn't have to take medication anymore. It's like, wow.
Praise God, Dave.
God. How's that not just like, you see, you just didn't think, wow. So you just like with Rosalind, so they just, you know what? You just do you bring it before the Lord. If the availability for medicine is there and you can use it, and you ask the Lord to kind of cover all the angles and so on and so forth, that's the way you do it. And the Lord has used so many. What a great testimony for September. What a blessing for the show. We just want her to know we love her. We appreciate her. That's Noelle's bestie. Okay? So bestie. Okay, let's do a trivia question. You guys should know, maybe not. This is a little weirder. Who said, so we're still in this early part. This is in John chapter 1, and we did this one about 2 months ago. I'm doing it again for a reason. Who said, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Okay, but I like the phrasing, I like the more modern phrasing, because it's kind of like saying, you know, can anything good come out of the Bronx? You know, kind of just like, what? Nazareth? What? I'm sorry. Nazareth? What? Nothing good comes out of there. It's like, this, yeah, I think that's what. What? Nothing good comes out of that place. You know, it's that kind of thing. See, maybe Bronx was bad example. Since my mother was born there, maybe I shouldn't use that one. That was a bad one. Anyhow, that's the question. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So who was the person who said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Nazareth. And I'm just saying this in the way that you read it in the scripture, and you understand what's going on. Remember, these were people. I was like, Nazareth? Anything good come out of there? No way. Okay, anyway. That's where that goes. Yes, that's my own little add-in, but, you know, you can live with that. Let's see. We are going to do some jokes, so I don't know where we're at on the call, so I'll wait and see, because sometimes when people call, they talk. Do you want to do the person first or the jokes first? Person first. Okay, let's let the person call through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, Dave, Dynamite said my line's not too good. It's Jay. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Jay. How are you doing?
Oh, same old, same old. But I think I'm just guessing, but I think it was either Anaphis or Caiaphas, but I'm going with Caiaphas.
Okay, now you got to go to one of the disciples, right? Okay.
Oh.
One of the disciples who was sitting by a tree doing nothing.
Oh,
you're getting close.
Oh, God, what was that name? There's a song.
Starts with an N. And rhymes
sorry,
with...
Sorry, man, can't think of it.
Wait,
I'll
get you there.
No.
Don't go.
I'm so sorry.
Rhymes with Daniel. Starts with an N.
Oh, Nathaniel.
That's correct! It's Nathaniel!
You could have spelled it. Oh, that's funny.
I got you there. That's all right, brother.
I love you, Dave. You're so wonderful. You mean you brought in my day, buddy.
All right, brother. I love you.
For you guys and all your listeners, all the ones that here call in, I pray for them every day. I really do.
Thank you, bro. Love you.
All right. Love you, too.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, I've got a classic. Let's see, one, two, just wait a minute. Three absolutely excellent jokes, okay? Now, I'm just telling you, one of them is about a police officer, and two of them are about fishing. These are great jokes. These are just great jokes, okay? All right.
This is so funny.
A rookie officer was asked the following question on his examination paper as he was taking to get his license. How do you go about dispersing a crowd? He wrote down, take up an offering. That does it every time.
Wow.
That was really good.
That's a good one. Wait, there's these two fishing ones. These are really good. So just listen. The game warden came over to the guy and he said, are you fishing? And the man without a license said, no, sir, I'm just drowning worms. But this is my favorite, okay? This is just this is classic, right? You know? A stranger, did you catch any fish? The fisherman, did I? I took 30 out of this stream this morning. The stranger, do you know who I am? I'm the game warden. Fisherman, do you know who I am? I'm the biggest liar in the country.
That might have been the best one ever, Dave.
That's
wow.
So funny.
I'm the biggest liar in the country.
Come on. Okay. Let's go back to the text. That's funny. Okay. All right. So we got that rolling. Back to the text. I want you to get into this. We're at verse 29. Right after Paul tells him, hey, don't kill yourself. We're all still here. Trembling with fear, verse 29 of Acts 16, the jailer called for lights. Okay, turn the lights on. And ran to the dungeon. So he wasn't at the dungeon. He had to run into the dungeon and fell down before Paul and Silas. He brought them out and asked them, sirs, what must I do to be saved? I mean... If you can just kind of transport yourself to the situation, the jailer, you know, he's running a pretty secure jail. He's got these guys in the inner dungeon. Their feet are stocked up. There's no way anybody's going anywhere. And then an earthquake happens. I'm going to go out on a really big limb and say, even if an earthquake happens, probably couldn't open up all the prison doors, but certainly could not take all the chains off the prisoners. Impossible. Right? This is what you'd call power salvation. There's not a lot, it's not a ton of room here for the guy not to acknowledge what's happening. It's happening right in front of him. Right? This is what I'm trying to say. It's like some of those things are like, well, that's not. So he asks the most important question, and it's just so amazing. I mean, it's so amazing. He just says, it's not even a couple of, what do I need to do to be saved? He knows, oh, okay, whoever these guys are working for, so to speak, it is definitely attached to God, and I'm not interested in any capacity of messing this up. So he asks this really brutal, super complex, theological, deep question, what do I got to do to get saved? It's the answer that blows the mind. They replied, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. No, Dave, there's so much more. Nope.
He does add, your family needs to believe too if they're going to be saved, but that's not really where it's heading. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved along with your entire household. He's not saving his household. They all have to believe. You get that further in the text, and we're going to address that in a second. Paul gives the brilliant, deep, really thorough explanation on how a person has to be saved. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. You want to make it more complex? That's what the book of Galatians is about. That people wanted to make it more complex. I know, there's tons of formulas, isn't there? Right? When I got saved, I'm just telling you guys, I'm just being honest, this is what happened to me. They told me the gospel story, and I said, cool. That just sounds awesome, right? And I just like, yeah, I can believe that. I'm totally for it, right? Said the sinner's prayer, because everybody has to say the sinner's prayer, but I'm just telling you what happened. But I believed in my heart. Oh, yeah, Jesus, right on. I really never knew about this stuff. This is fantastic. I totally believe. Then I left that apartment where my brother was with his friend, and I went on and did all the incorrigible things that I did for many moons, months, before the Lord started. But I never stopped believing. Hey, you know what? That was my day of salvation. And you think, well, I know, but you didn't do this, that, whatever. No, I sure didn't. I was, man. But the Lord wasn't done. And so you get, I know you want to add complexity. Oh, well, were you really saved? Absolutely. Why? Because I believed. It's just like, that's it.
Well, and you're being real, Dave. Now, you know, the theologians, if you will, may question, you know, were you saved? But that's the, it never just overnight. That's the real thing that you just said.
So what happened to me, and I've shared this before, is after I had, you know, continued in some of the things I shouldn't have continued in, I asked the Lord, am I going to make it? You know, it's like, I don't even know. I still really believe. And I had a dream from God that I was in the throne room with God. And he's showing me my life. And he's like, here you did this, here you did this. And there's this one part in the dream I'll never forget. And he did this. He goes, here you did this. He goes, and that was bad. It was like one out of the four things. He goes, but here is where you accepted my son. And that's why you're here today. It's like, what? It's not the complexity. Oh, let me tell you something. Some people get saved and it all happens at one time and it all changes in a moment. And believe me, that is as powerful. I mean, that is so powerful, right? But I had that happen for a drug deliverance months and months and months later. Okay, but that was for full deliverance. I had to get in first. And then once I got in, then the Lord started to draw me closer and draw me closer. You know how this guy got saved? Exactly how Paul told him, right? He said, it's pretty simple. What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. That is what you have to do.
Good stuff, Dave.
That's just straightforward. Some people are like, well, that's not the pattern. That's the one of the last patterns in the New Testament from a point of view of looking at a pictorial or a narrative story. So, yes, that's just as valid as anything else. All right, we'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
She thought he was a gardener. Sir, she said, if you have taken him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will go and get him. Mary, Jesus said. Now you think three words. Come on, Dave. Mary, Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which is Hebrew for teacher, or it doesn't matter if your translation says master, rabbi, it doesn't care. She said, Mary. She responded, Master, Lord. You see, the resurrected Jesus Christ speaks the name of his sheep. And Jesus knows your name. name. My sheep, Jesus said, know my voice, and they hear me. And you were going along in your journey. Maybe you were young and you were in church. Maybe you were young and somebody brought it to you. Maybe you were in the middle part of your life. Maybe in the later part of your life. But at some point, Jesus said your name. He said, David, Tierra, Tiffany, Noel, Joshua, Ashley. At some point, he called your name. The risen Messiah spoke your name to you. You know what? That's when you said, yes, Lord. Yes, Master. Yes, Rabboni. It's the most powerful moment because it's the moment that the divine Messiah speaks to you and pulls you from one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, into another kingdom, the kingdom of light. It is the moment that changed everything. And Billy Graham had a really good piece on it. Said some people can really define that moment, some people can't. Doesn't matter. It happened for those that, well, it's kind of like a metamorphosis, but it happened. And in the economy of God, it happens more specifically. And maybe the person doesn't know the date. I know my date, but maybe the person doesn't know the date that he said yes to Jesus. But there was a moment where Jesus called your name and you said yes. And that was the beginning of your understanding of his depth of love.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for your next trivia question. Usually our second to last one's a little harder, but this should not be that difficult for many people. This is referred to in the Book of Acts, right? Which is something that we're in right now. See, so it's a trivia question about the Book of Acts, and we're in Acts. Who healed the lame man? Now, God did the healing, but what person was used in the lame man who was laying at the gate of the temple beautiful? Who was the one who did that? Joy Ann and Cordelia answered before I finished the question. That's pretty good, ladies. That's pretty good. A couple things to say. If you think you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770. You can text 214-210-8483. That's also, you can do that. And then as well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. We're going to send you up to the website. Send you up to the website. We're going to tell you about the website. Just want to make sure everybody understands. Giving is to, so we did pay radio rent. I'm super appreciative, and I thank you for it, and appreciate everybody doing that. Hey, awesome. Hey, hey, hey. And now we need to do something else, and that is make sure Dave has gas to get back and forth, as well as a few other things. Few other things that are starting to creep up. So help us out. That'd be great if you can. If you can't give, then pray for us. I mean, be a part of it. Join our struggle by praying for us. That's exactly what Romans 15:30 says. Paul said, join me in my struggle by praying for me. That's what we're asking. So if you can give, great. If you can't, you know, awesome. Check out all the stuff on the site. There's really cool stuff there, plus praise and prayer report form. It's free. Nobody gets the information. Nobody gets anything. It's just us. We just take it, pray over it, and if it's a testimony you want us to share, we'll share it for you. That's how it works. Check out hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
Can't touch this. Touch this.
You know what's sad? I've been waiting for that one.
Oh, you have? Yeah, that's one of my favorites.
And it's so good. Yeah. I love it. It's so good. And I just love, you got to pray. You got to pray just to make it today. I love that. All right. Let's do history. Then we'll do the repeat on the triv.
and then we'll get into the rest of the teaching. Go ahead and fire away.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
All right, a couple things to tell you. Today is Waffle Iron Day.
That's the iron you make waffles in.
That's it.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I mean, why would that be bad? Today is also National Almond Butter Crunch Day, and I like that. See, Almond Butter Crunch, that's way too many calories. But that is a great treat. 1891, the start of the United States National Forest Service. Wow. 1937, on this day, the snowmobile is invented.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, first time I ever went on a snowmobile. I've mentioned this story. I was riding on the back with my dad. I had my arms around his waist. He hit a bump, and he held on, and I did not.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that was my first, hey, I'm flying without an airplane. Additionally, on this day in 1995, the first time the NASA space shuttle Atlantis docks with the Russian Mir space station. So that's pretty much wild. That is wild stuff. Here we go again on the question, Aruni. Book of Acts, chapter 3. Who did God use to heal the lame man who was laying at the gate of the temple? Beautiful. That is the question. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So I'm going to address something that some people will not appreciate. I'm not trying to offend anybody, just so you can know that. And I've told everybody, what, about a bazillion times, you don't have to agree with everything. I mean, you have to, when you are processing not just this ministry, but any ministry, when you're going through that process, you have to make your decisions between you and the Lord. I mean, that is the first place of accountability. You know, the Lord, you're not going to stand before the Lord and the Lord's going to go, well, why didn't you believe this? And you'll be able to go, well, that guy on the radio said this. And that's not going to work. If the Lord showed you something, you stay with it, right? I mean, that's your responsibility between you and God. It's one of the things that we strongly talk about, or I did when I was doing pastoral work in churches. It's like, look, your vision, your burden. If it's something you see, you should take the responsibility because God gave it to you for a reason, not for you just to share it, okay? So that you can pass it off kind of thing. So I just want you to know that. But now getting into this, I want to do this run through this one section we just talked about, okay? And you'll understand when we get to the end. So bear with me until we get to the end. So the guy says, sir, what must I do to be saved? So for those that are trying to figure out, we're in Acts chapter, what, we're at 16. We're at Acts 16. We're going to be going at verse 30. Now, we do have somebody who's answering that wants to answer a trivia question. We'll give them a chance to do that. Then we'll get back into the teach. So let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Well, David, this is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah.
Hi.
How are you feeling?
I'm good. Are you doing okay?
I'm doing good. Doing a lot better. I have a brace on my arm. So do me a favor, though. If your radio's up, you got to turn it down just a little. I can hear a little feedback. I'm not sure if it's the radio.
Oh, okay. It's in the other part of the room. Hold on. It'd take me a minute to get there because I'm blind.
We have all the time you ever need. That's why we pray for you every day. We love you. You're our sister.
Thank you. Okay, I think it's good now.
Okay, awesome. All right, here we go. What person did God use to heal the lame man laying at the gate of the temple? Beautiful.
I'm probably wrong, but I thought it was Peter.
That is correct. You are right.
Okay.
Acts chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. That's when he said, why are you guys looking at us like we did this? We didn't do this. This is the God of Israel who did this. That is exactly correct. You're the best guesser ever on this show.
All right. Well, y'all have a good afternoon now.
All right. God bless you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
She's so good. She guesses right.
Love there. Deborah. The great guesser.
I mean, I think she's missed it. I think she's got like 98 out of 100. So that's pretty good. That's an A. That's pretty good. All right, let's go back to this. Now, again, I want to run this through. I got to run through the whole thing. So we'll pick it up at verse 30, where he goes, he brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved along with your entire household. So there was a teaching circulating in the church 35 or 40 years ago suggesting that if you became a Christian, your family was automatically saved because of your salvation. That is incorrect. That's a false teaching. It is not true. Your family can be saved if they choose to follow the same path of salvation. It does not automatically happen by association with your faith. Okay? They may, however, respond differently than you did, or they may be impacted more profoundly because you responded on their own journey. But I want to run you through it so you can see how it works out. So in verse 30, picks it back up. You know, he brought them out and asked them, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And then the response, they gave the response, by the way, in verse 31, they replied, believe on the Lord Jesus, you will be saved along with your entire household. Then they shared the word of the Lord with him. So you tell them about getting saved. And then all of a sudden, when you're saved, it's the most amazing thing about being saved is at least you listen now to the Bible. It's like, what, what? And then at some point when you read the Bible, you go, whoa, this book's alive, right? That's the process. You get saved, and then all of a sudden you start getting it. So they're sharing the word of the Lord with him. That same hour, the jailer washed their wounds, and he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. Then he brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. They were all believers. It wasn't just one. Everybody's believing. And you sit there and you say, I know, but I don't want my family to be lost. I don't want my family to be lost either. But they still have to make the decision, and you don't get to do it by your faith. It's not your faith that gets to be tagged onto by association. They have to make a decision for the kingdom of God. What does that mean for those of us who have family members who are rebellious or stubborn, or they think that science is the answer, or they think that mysticism is the answer, or they think the earth is the answer, or they think that, being woke or culture is the answer, or the bigger part of it is they think government is the salvation, okay? What do? You pray your brains out, and you never stop praying. And you think, well, it's not getting anywhere. You don't know that. You know, when you pray for your family, you don't know what the impact is in the spiritual realm unless you're standing in the spiritual realm. You don't know. So you keep praying, and you keep believing, and you keep asking, and you never give up hope. And yes, some people, in fact, do make a genuine confession towards the end. That is absolutely true. It's the people that are saying, I'm just going to send my brains out, and at the very end, then I'll say I'm sorry. That's different. Okay? Those people are trying to manipulate God. That's not what anybody's talking about. There are many times where people recognize, hey, I have fallen short, and they do it. You know, there's great ministries from chaplains from all different denominations about telling people about Jesus at the end. And that's powerful. But what we do in present ministry is we don't fake it. We pray for them. And sometimes you might skip an issue because you don't want to cause a family fight, and I've done that. And then sometimes I go the exact opposite direction and go, I've had enough of this. I just fly off the handle. I mean, that's kind of what happens. And so the idea behind this is no matter what I do or don't do, good, bad, or indifferent, the one thing I can do that is absolutely righteous and right every time is petition the Lord God Almighty to save them no matter what it takes. That I can do. So if it's not going to be through me, and quite frankly, it probably shouldn't to some degree, then I want them to do whatever the Lord will do to bring them so that I can spend eternity with them. That's what you do. So we want them all to believe. And the way you do that is, you know what? You petition. You keep petitioning. And you know when you quit? Never. That's when you quit, okay? All right. All right, folks, you've been listening. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Your time is over.
Hey there.
there. It's Amazing Jennifer, and I am helping out the David Spoon Experience. As you may know, I basically run the KAAM radio station.
Amazing!
And Dr. Dave is looking for a few good people to join and become representatives, ambassadors, and stewards of this here radio ministry. Now, you may be thinking, well, I'd love to get involved, but I'm not very qualified for ministerial positions. Well, the truth is that because you are a child of our Heavenly Father, that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you seek to live by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have all you need to be a part of this ministry. But Jennifer, don't I need to be perfect? No. Just go to HeMustIncrease.org. That's HeMustIncrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website, and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Just fill out the form and we will reach out to you. But sorry, no parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position. You are on your own with that.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." What happens when he stops following Christ? You stop following him. And what about 2 Corinthians 2:14? "Not that we rule over your faith," Paul said. What? "Not that we rule over your faith." So this whole notion that there's this authority structure and that people have to obey, because if they don't obey in every nuance, they're going to be, you know, zapped or whatever. Ours was better. You know what our story was? Ken told the story about past congregations he had, how about people who disobeyed him and spoke evil about them, and how God killed them. That's what he told us. In fact, it was true that somebody out of the 110 people out of his three previous churches, we'll just leave that there. One person did die. Wow, one out of 110. They picked up a hitchhiker on their way to Flagstaff, Arizona. Hey, I pastored in Flagstaff. And the hitchhiker ended up killing the guy because the guy was a mental case. But Ken used that after his church was closed 15 years later, saying, "See?" What? But we were too dumb to know. So now you have the same guy that told us how to attack a Christian leader, telling us we can no longer attack Christian leaders unless he, the anointed of God, gives us permission. He's in charge, and we can't challenge him or question him. And, oh, by the way, if we talk about the anointed or touch the prophets of God, God will kill us, and he's him. So he's the one of the anointed, so we can't touch him. Even though none of that is scriptural, none of that is right, and all of that is wackadoodle. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for your last trivia question. Here we go. Now, this is a big one, and you've got to think of it in these terms. This is a big, expansive one, right? All right. At which festival did the 12-year-old Jesus stay behind at the temple? Which festival was it? The most important festival for Israel that actually helped establish the nation of Israel. Your answer is in Luke chapter 2. All right? So which festival? The most important. There'd be no Israel without this festival. There'd be no nation without this festival. Which festival did Jesus stay? Stick around. That's the question. Stick around. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. I don't know what it is about Thursdays. I do love teaching in the 2 Corinthians book, and I love Acts. How could you not love Acts? Right? What's boring in Acts? There's no way. I mean, it isn't mold. It's like the stuff that's happening. All right. So anyway, that's the trivia question. I think when you're thinking of the festival that this would take place in, you got to think at the biggest level, right? I mean, what was it? The biggest level. Now listen, that this is
without this, there would have been no nation of Israel. So you got to think of it in those terms. Big, 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 biggest one. Luke chapter 2 is where you want to get that information. If you think you know, you can reach out to us. In the meantime, we'll go back to this teaching because this is, kind of a fascinating portion. And when you go through it, I mean, you can't top, I don't think, like in the earlier parts of the show, you know, the whole teaching on but God. I mean, that's just like the best. That's just the answer for everything. And I really love it. You know, Paul's like, you know, what do I got to do to get saved? Believe. Okay, got it. Okay. And quite frankly, it's important for all of us as parents, as brothers, as sisters, as children to be praying for our family, lost family. That's a big part of things. And never give up. When Dee and I were talking about this on the break, you don't know how close they are. How do you know? Unless God showed you, then that's cool. But typically, you don't know what's going on. That's why you never stop praying. Now, I want to pick this back up after the whole household is believing in God. So now they're saved, right? So now we're at verse 35, and here's what it says. It's 35. It says this. The next morning, the city officials sent the police to the jailer. Let those men go. So the jailer told Paul, you and Silas are free to leave. Go in peace. But Paul replied, you have publicly beaten us without a trial and jailed us, and we are Roman citizens. So now they want us to leave secretly? Certainly not. Let them come themselves to release us. When the jailer had made the report, the city officials were alarmed to learn that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens. So they came to the jail and apologized to them, and then they brought them out, begging them to leave the city. You're thinking, oh, wow, that's just like so wild. First of all, you should be able to identify to some of this that what happened to Paul and Silas is the Roman citizenry and the civil laws were breached. They were breached because they did not get their trial or anything. They just got beaten. Right? That's what happens when there's a rush to judgment, when things happen around you and everybody starts saying, well, it was this, it was this, it was this. It was none of that. It's all a lie. And most of that stuff is a lie. And that's, yes, the government was the one that perpetuated that by throwing them in jail. They might have been falsely accused, but then the government stood in there and helped create that. So at this point in the act narratives, this happens. The jailer tells Paul, hey, you're free to go. No problems. Man, that's great. And you could even say they may have been jailed just so that the jailer could hear the gospel, just so that the jailer and the people around them can hear them praising God. While they were in, Paul and Silas were in jail, the prisoners were listening to them, praising God, singing hymns, praying to God, and then the jailer and his family get saved. That all could have happened because of that, and probably did. But what Paul's point is like, you guys totally trashed the system, and you treated us wrongfully, and now you want us to slink away secretly so nobody knows what's going on. So what Paul did was he hired a really high-powered attorney, and then he sued the pants off of them and took everything they had. Or, he said, you know what? I want an apology. I just want you to acknowledge, you guys, that was totally wrong. And our society, we would probably approach that a little differently, right? He just wanted the acknowledgement that they were wrong and that all they were doing was really promoting the kingdom. And he just wanted them to say, you got, and then they wanted them to leave, like, get out of here, get out of here, you're terrible. The reason that they're terrible is because they had done wrong in the name of their sustaining their societal positions and authorities and powers. And they had even breached their own declarations of laws. And somebody breaches the founding documents of the country, that's not a great thing. That's not a good thing. The answer is not to sue their brains out, but you know that if it happened that way 2,000 years ago, then some of that goes on now. You can't think it doesn't. It's been going on for ages. So the narrative here in the Acts, before Paul goes back and starts hanging out with the brethren, is they wanted them to go away because they made a mistake. But instead of making them suffer financially or any other thing, it's like, you know what?
Just own it. And we'll let it go. And see, I don't think I have that spirit. I'm trying to be honest. I'm not trying to be weird. If something like that happened to me, I think I'd handle most of it pretty well. But at the end of it, then I'd want the revenge. I want my due, right? And it's like, I think that's what we got to be careful for. We can't have this attitude that we get the revenge or we get the recompense, because that at that point, the glory doesn't go to God when we get that kind of reciprocal response in that way. If the glory goes to God, it goes there because you suffered because you're a Christian, and then you suffered because you're Christ-like, and that blessing cannot go away. On top of that, if they give you $60 billion, that could be taken away from that testimony to God. I know you're thinking, that's crazy. No way. I would never think that way. Yeah, I know, but here's the deal. If you read the book of 1 Peter, you'll know that your suffering in your situations identifies you with Jesus Christ and brings glory to God. And you think, well, I know, but that's not right. That's not right. It wasn't right for Jesus to die. But that's what it took. Right? And so if you get the soft end of a deal, then perhaps there's something more going on, but the answer is not seek revenge, right? The answer is to do it in the Lord, whatever you're going to do. And remember that whatever you do or say is going to directly impact the honor that the Lord receives. That's the truth. You can't get away from it. Okay. What was the major holiday when Jesus was 12 years old and he hung out there and their parents couldn't find him? It was the Passover! Passover, Luke chapter 2, verse 42. Okay? All right, folks. That'll do it for today. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. 22 and a half hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.